So listen, you know, I kind of released the statement yesterday to let you know. I mean, it was obvious there was emotion involved. Some really sad because that's where I'm from, and some really positive because it's such an exciting opportunity for the franchise in a couple of years. I mean, it certainly begins now for the franchise, but for the football team, you know, we're in Oakland, and that's. You know, where we're going to be, where we're going to be competing, and it's home for me. It's where I grew up. So mixed emotions yesterday. I wanted to, you know, kind of get that out there. And then the next thing that obviously right away is the fact that it's really for us about, you know, getting back to the task of getting after this season. We're going to find out what our schedule looks like. We know we have 9 games that are going to be not in our home Coliseum, not on our home turf. We're gonna play 9 of those games on the road. Even though the Mexico game is considered a home game, it's travel. It's demands, and so we have a very demanding schedule. And it's going to be imperative that as a football team, we understand the need to focus on the here and now and focus on what we're about as a football team. Each guy understanding what his role is, how he can execute his role. And us to function as a football team and take care of business. And so we have a good group. We had a good, strong year last year, and we're looking forward to building on that.
What level of commitment have you had from your fans and creating the right environment in the stadium to benefit your team in home games? And what can you reasonably expect under these new circumstances going forward?
Well, I think the Raider Nation travels well. And, you know, I happen to be, from personal experience, I happen to be at Southern Cal, you know, the last time they left. And it was kind of the same thing. There was mixed emotions there. It was sad for my family and friends that were back in the Bay that had the team leave. But I was pretty fired up when I was down at Southern Cal that my team was there. So I think, you know, there's mixed emotions with it, you know, but I think we have some real diehards. I think you know, we draw globally, and I'm sure there'll be some people that are angry and won't or can't get over it, and that's understandable. But I think there's a large contingency, a large group that are true Raider fans, and it's not really, it really doesn't matter to them you know, where we're playing. They're there. They're fired up.
Was it meaningful to you yesterday that in anticipation of potential hostility that Mark Davis said to blame him, not to blame the coaches and the players? They had nothing to do with this?
Well, it is a fact that we had nothing to do with it. that's what I'm sitting here telling you. I've got, you know, they don't really, you know, take the opinion of the coach into consideration when it comes to that type of a decision. So I'll focus on the ones that I do get to make, whether or not I throw my red flag, who I'm going to play at right tackle. Newhouse has a leg up right now, in case you're wondering, Vic. But, you know, it's again, you know, I think it's important that we all focus on the things that we have some control over. My whole career, I've learned to do that. You know who really helped me with that? Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson will help you with that, because if you're not worried about the things you need to be worried about, then you have a problem with Jimmy. And he taught me that as a player when I played under him in Dallas years ago. You know, it's focus on what you have control over. Don't worry about what I'm doing, what other people are doing here. Take care of your own business.
But, you know, no coach has ever been in a situation like you in the history of this league where, you know, the team is going to be leaving.
Yeah.
You know, how much will you talk about this with the player?
I will talk about it. Let's hope it's not. The last time I heard a question like that was prior to the playoff game. We had a third quarterback, you know, getting his initial start, and that didn't go well. So let's hope it goes a little better than that. But the whole idea is, you know, we have to focus on what we're about, on where we are, given maximum effort. You know, we talk about sustainable high performance and, you know, how we recover and how we prepare each week. And that's part of our process and preparing. And that's not going to change. That has to remain at the forefront of everything we're doing right now.
Derek Carr sent out a tweet. I believe you shared it. But can you expand on that and just your thoughts? I mean, it seemed like it was pretty profound, and obviously taking a leadership role and sending a pretty clear message.
It's a great example of Derek Carr being exactly who he is. He's authentic. He cares. He's all in. It was also echoed by Khalil Mack. And the two of them, they came in and decided they were going to be a part of turning this thing the right direction, getting things going. And I think you see examples of that throughout the year. I do. I see examples of that throughout the year. That's another great illustration of what a tremendous young man he is. He's wired right. He loves ball. He is very appreciative. And I thought his message was right on point. I thought it was an excellent, excellent message. And that's why we retweeted it. Got it out.
But. On Las Vegas, not necessarily as a football city, but what do you know about the city? What do you like about it?
I don't know a lot about Las Vegas. I've been, I think, two different times. And golfed a little and gambled a little and saw some shows. And I think shows are the part that my wife and I probably appreciate the most. Some great shows go through there. But, you know, again, for looking for the future, it's exciting, you know, because the community there is super fired up about it. I think, you know, all of that is there, but that's kind of a down the road, you know, for me right now. Right now, I'm just going to focus on this season. You know, talking about it with some of the other coaches yesterday, I was like, you know, what is the percentage of our turnover each year? Yeah, think about it. What's the most turnover? What's the least turnover? There's somewhere in that sweet spot of, you know, 25 to 35% probably turnover on a roster on a given year. And so, you know, the reality is I'm going to go talk to guys that may never make it, won't make it to Las Vegas, about, you know, Las Vegas. Well, we need to focus on where we are right now. We need to focus on the 2017 schedule that when it comes out, we need to attack that thing very similar to how we did last year and lay out a plan and, you know, be able to make sure we're getting proper recovery and rest and that we're pushing the guys and pulling back when we need to and all the things that we need to do to become a real good team. So, you know, there's so much in 2017 right now that is not going to be real exciting for everybody here to talk about. They'd rather talk about the future, but I, you know, it's really where I'm going to continue to try and take the conversation after today.
That's understood. I think your contract will take you through Las Vegas.
There'd be an opportunity to coach there should I continue to perform, because we're in the performance business.
I know,
so you know, it's all about doing that, and that's where my focus has
right.
to be.
But have you thought at all about like whether you're going to have to? Like, this may not be part of Brazil, but you're going to have to institute certain rules when you do move to Las Vegas with players, or just in general as a former NFL player, way players are that special. Policies might have to put into place for players.
There has been an initial thought about what may or may not need to happen. I think that will continue kind of behind the scenes. I think, again, that is something that will need to occur in the future, mm-hmm. and what it looks like. There's so much time between now and then to work on it. I think I'm aware of the fact that there may be an ask or two that you don't have, you know, in Oakland that you do have. But then again, it may be very similar.
Right.
I think the biggest difference is it doesn't shut down. Well, I played in New Orleans as a rookie. You have to learn that there, too. You know, that city doesn't shut down either. So it's not the only city. I mean, New York stays open pretty much through the night. So, it's not the only city that has a segment that doesn't go to bed. So, you know, obviously as a coach, you know, your team needs to get rest. That's something you pay attention to. But I'm not sure when you really get down into it that it's much different. I know it it is going to be different, but I don't know if it's that much different than it is in other, you know, larger cities.
Jack, just to sneak a football question, what are you guys missing in DJ Hayden? Why did he not develop into the top?
I thought DJ did a great job for us last year. It's a shame he got injured at the end of the year. You know, as far as like whether or not a young man ever lives up to the top billing, the first round pick billing or not, that can be a tough deal to ever live up to that, to the hype. But he's a good young man, and you know, I wish him the best.
He played outside and inside. Can you just speak to the benefit of a cornerback who can do both those things for a head coach?
Sure, yeah. Noah, it's to be able to, you have to be quick and intelligent to move inside. There are a lot of different guys who can play outside. Be able to do both is definitely an asset.
Jack, are you surprised that there's no movement on Adrian Peterson in the offseason? Do you guys have any interest in that?
We're continuing our process of, you know, looking to add good players between now and the start of the of the fall, really, the kickoff. It really continues throughout. So we'll always look at players, look at options. I think that as you get later in your career, and there are different questions that have to be answered, you know, whether it's, health, expense, how much you have left, how you fit with the team, all those kinds of things are factors. He's obviously been a great player in this league, and I'm sure something will work out for him at some point here.
Losing Murray, what kind of impact is that for you guys?
Yeah, Latavius, another great kid. I said when we started the offseason, I hope we can keep them all, but you can't keep them all. Latavius does a nice job. He's a good man. He's a good human being, good teammate. And, I wish him the best as well.
Do you feel like you need a bigger body in the backfield? Jalen and Washington are smaller in stature. They're productive and elusive, but do you feel like you need a different style back there too?
Well, I think we're comfortable with both of those guys being able to run inside or outside, do everything we need. We try to take advantage of the guys that we have and plan to utilize their talents. At this point, we have those two and Mays and some other decisions to make. So, I think when it's all said and done, I think there's a strong likelihood that we'll have a guy that can, give us some of that power running that you're talking about.
Right.
Given his recent history in terms of availability and the fact he's 32, what do you think Adrian Peterson is still capable of in this league?
That'll be determined. Where the fit is for him. I think he'll end up somewhere. I'm not like I'm neither confirming nor denying anything you're saying about that particular player. Obviously he's been a really good player, and he draws a lot of interest because of who he is and what he's done in this league.
Speaking of confirming and denying, you've been linked to Marshawn Lynch. Can you confirm or deny the possibility that he would come?
Same. I can only tell you that that he is the property of somebody else, and so that basically forbids me from talking about him. I've already basically said at least enough, with the fact that he's a local guy, and we understand that. But beyond that, I can't get into that.
With respect to 2017, Jack, you won't be going to Vegas, obviously, but you will be going back to Mexico City.
Yeah.
For the second year in a row. Is there anything, based on last year's experience, that you might do differently with this upcoming trip?
Well, we did post-op evaluation of the experience last year. We'll go back and, I'm sure, refer to those notes and make plans accordingly. But, it's one small thing that we have to make sure that we do on a checklist of things that are part of traveling well and taking the team, being able to perform on the road, regardless of where you are, through time zones, elevation, all those things. So that'll all be a part of what we do, yes.
What about your initial thoughts on just having to face the defending Super Bowl champs in that game?
Yeah, we we look forward to competing against the very best. I think, obviously, for a number of years now, the combination of Brady and Belichick has been special. These guys have been tremendous. I know my son will be excited to watch the game because he's a big Tom Brady fan. So, I look forward to the matchup, but it's always a tough matchup. That's a really good team, well coached, and I know we'll get into that later in the year. But obviously, that's one that we're all aware of.
You've had your battles with Tom Brady. What's made it so difficult to try and stop him and their offense?
Well, he's just, he's one of the special quarterbacks to come through and play in this league, and maybe in the greatest ever category, And if you look at the results, I think you can make that case. So, he prepares hard. He's very driven, very competitive, and very accurate, great decision maker. So it's a lot of strong qualities.
Do you cringe then when they like add more weapons like a Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do cringe, because I think they added a real special talent in Cooks. I think he's really he can really do some things, create some separation.
How are you going to take? You have Jack. We have an issue like Las Vegas, which obviously has been moving for years, and now it's happening. Do you address it with the team once, constantly? How do you manage, or not at all? How do you manage that kind of overlap?
I think that's a once. That's a, we'll see if it need be more. I typically will address things as I feel I need to. For the last 2 years, at the beginning of each year, I would address one time the idea of us, going to L.A., because that was talked about for 2 years. It's no different that way. I think for us, the biggest difference is there is a destination at some point for the organization, so there will be constant movement, constant discussion. There will be people from that area that continue to come up and cover us, I'm sure. And so there's that fine line between, being where we are in the Bay Area and where I grew up and where we are now, and then obviously the transition to going down and wanting to engage that community as well. And Will's going to have to do a great job of planning his work, and we'll have to execute it. But there's some things to navigate there that I need to spend some time on, and I want to make sure that we're clear in how we're going to handle that and do those things so that when it's the right time, we can focus on the task at hand, that is winning football games.
Do you anticipate Derek being involved in the off-season program? You're going to take it easy with him through that? How are you going
to? No, I don't think there's any reason to take it easy. I think, he's fired up. I got to peek out and see him working out with the trainers last week when we came down. He's moving around very well. I think he's real excited about where it is and how the rehab's going. And yeah, we expect to have him for all the OTAs and everything.
How important do you think it is to secure his future? This is the first time the Raiders can redo his contract since he was drafted. Do you think that's an important priority for the team this offseason?
Well, it definitely is. I think Reggie has stated that. We've assembled a strong core of players, and we'd like to make sure that we keep that strong core of players and be able to build around it.
How would you describe how menacing the Coliseum can be for visiting teams, and how big of a loss will that be for the Raiders once you move?
Well, I think we have the best fans, the loudest fans, the most diehard fans. So I want to enjoy them here and now. I want to, we want to make sure we put out a good product and play good ball and make them proud now. And hopefully they have enough fun that they might even jump on a plane and come see us, in the future. But in the here and now, I think for us, they're at their best and we're at our best. So, I'd rather acknowledge that they give us tremendous support and we really appreciate it. And just continue to work to make sure that they are enjoying what they're seeing.
Do you think, obviously you're right, the percentages each year, you have no idea
a lot of guys will be on this team.
Right. We do the. Oh, we were talking about the over-under last night.
Okay.
We'll give that number.
You do seem to think, though, the culture...
I can't get into that right now.
You're already using gambling terminology?
You do seem to think, though, the culture is good right now, that you are built for the future with you and Reggie. It's stable. I mean, can you talk about that a little? Not specific players, but when you get there, I assume your hope is that the winning continues and you've built a culture now to where you kind of can come in as a team as successful as you are now.
Well, listen, I think you get a chance to prove that each year, you know. I think it starts for me, and part of the confidence comes from being unified with the two of us, and you know, me and the coaching staff and he and the scouting staff and what we're doing together, how we built from the trenches, you know, all those things. You know, acquiring a really good quarterback is important in this league. You know, and we have one, and we need to protect him. You know, need to keep him upright, and we work hard at that. He wasn't hit much last year, but he was hit one too many times, right? So, obviously, protecting him is imperative, and we have fortified our offensive line with that in mind. And so, yeah, I think we've positioned ourselves to have a healthy opportunity, you know, to attack this thing and be there year in and year out. But to me, we're one year into being a solid team that needs to, you know, build on that, much to do. And so, you know, this is the time really, I mean, despite all that we're talking about today, we haven't really got into the meat and potatoes of what my days are going to be about, what my job is in terms of directing this football team and developing this football team, developing the players and coaches, and growing into a real strong football team.
There's also practical stuff, though, in terms of the 3 years you're going to have a new practice facility.
Yeah.
Will you get involved in any of that planning, or will you delegate that, or have you thought about that part?
I will definitely be a part of that. It can't be my job, but I will. But I will. You know, I've been told that I will definitely be a part of that developing process.
How is Jared Cook going to influence what you guys do on offense, and also just your tight end group in general? Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of versatile guys, Lee and Clive. How's he going to impact the versatility of that group, and how's he going to benefit?
Well, you know, we're really excited to have Jared. You know, he's developed. I mean, at this point, you know, you're getting a guy that's in his prime. He's physically, he's grown. He's from when he came out to where he is now. He's really worked at his body, his strength. He's a guy that we think can do a little bit of everything. He blocks a little better than maybe he's given credit for. He definitely can be a matchup problem for defenses to deal with and handle. We see a number of those guys throughout the year. We're glad to have one ourselves.
Could you envision he and Clive working in the same formation, or is it going to impact how much Clive gets to play? How's it going to impact him?
Well, it'll impact Clive in that he'll have to push and really create an additional role. It won't be as easy for him to have a role made that's kind of waiting for him because with a guy like Jared, he's going to demand a certain amount of snaps each game. So Clive's going to have to work hard to create value for himself, so that we're getting him involved as well. But we like having Lee back healthy and
right.
Having a guy like Jared, and then having a developing Clive. And Clive just needs to come on, develop, and blossom into the guy that we know he can be.
With Jared, what did you think of how quickly he was able to gain rapport with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers? What did that show you last year?
Yeah, you know, we kind of looked at a lot of different factors. Certainly, you know, him being adaptable, being intelligent enough to pick up systems and do the things that we need him to do was a big part of it.
You mentioned the building of the trenches. Are you more confident this year your defense will be better than the trenches than they were last year?
I am. I think what happens in the trenches, you know, I think as you do things better around them, those big boys, they become a little more impactful. And, you know, there's some things that we need to do around them, and we will. We're working hard to make sure we're cleaning things up. And there are things that we want to make sure the D-line is is doing as well. And we talked about really the interior, right? Because, you know, with Khalil and Bruce coming off the edges, you've got some really good edge pressure. So that should create some one-on-ones inside where we need to see more production.
Do you need more pieces inside, or are you happy with the guys you have right now?
Well, a little bit of both. We're always looking. But, you know, I believe in guys like Mario and Hadi and Danico and some of the guys that we have. You know, we just need to be more effective, more productive.
You were saying at the combine, I think you did a radio interview, and you talked about defensively eliminating the gray.
Yeah,
Expand upon that? Like, what do you mean?
Well, you know, it's black or it's white. You know exactly what you need to do, right?
Okay.
So you can play fast, right? When you get gray, when you get fuzzy communication, you get, muted or muffled communication or none, and then you're guessing a little bit and you're kind of not sure, so you kind of slow down, you kind of hesitate. You go, you know, slow as you go because you don't know, right? That's right. So we want to make sure we know. We want to make sure that we know so we can let it rip and play fast. And it's been a hallmark of, you know, really good defenses I've been around throughout my career. And I think understanding, eliminating that gray is huge for us. It's something that has to get done, and we'll work hard at that this offseason.
You said you've been there a couple times, shows, gambling, whatever. Could you ever, from when you were there, because I assume with the stadium they will push for
and eat good food, and too. Good food. Yeah, really good food.
I'm assuming with a stadium they will push for one. Can you envision a Super Bowl there in that town? When you think you've been to Super Bowl, so I mean, when you think of a Super Bowl in that town, the hotels, what would you say to that if they ever had one?
I think it'll be a natural. I would think that would be almost an automatic. That when you're designing it, you've got all the things you look for, with the infrastructure, you know, the hotels, the restaurants. Everything that you need and would want, the, you know, close proximity for all the events and things, the space to do all the events. You know, I think, and the beautiful weather. I think it's going to be a natural fit for all that.
Is there an environment in football that replicates the black hole and the energy, the fans, and the passion, and just how it is to be out there?
Say that one more time.
Is there anywhere in football that replicates the black hole?
Well, there are other fan bases that are pretty good too. So, you know, obviously we're proud of ours. You know, we love the Raider Nation and the loyal support that we've had for a number of years. And, you know, this past year, to see how they traveled. Well, we took over San Diego. We were, you know, very, very loud and very strong in Mexico. And really everywhere we went, there was a presence. And so, when you talk about the black hole, it's not just the location. It's kind of a mentality that our fans travel with, and we travel well.
Speaking of San Diego, you do have a lot of displaced fans there, as you do now in other parts, other football fan bases. Would you like to go ahead and take this moment to recruit these former Chargers fans who are looking for a team to claim?
Well, we appreciate the people that support the Raiders, regardless of where you live. You know, the Raider Nation is very strong, and the people are very loyal in supporting our team, and we appreciate it.
Leslie, could you just speak to the addition of John Pagano, what he brings to your coaching staff, your team?
Yeah, really, really happy to have John Pagano join us. You know, he's got a wealth of experience, comes from a great football family. He's a bright guy. He's done a superb job, I think, of blending in with the staff and getting a feel for everybody and how they work and how we have done things, and we'll be able to, you know, offer up a suggestion or two that where we can take, and like we always do, we pull together and it becomes us. And so we have a lot of different experiences, and he brings a lot of that experience to the table, and he's a good communicator. So we're looking forward to having him as part of the Silver and Black.
Jack, what do you see in this running back class?
A lot of depth, a lot of talent. There's some guys that will probably take off. Thank you. Some guys that will probably take off, come off the board early in this draft, that are very talented. There will be some matchup problems. So And then there's some depth to the group. So it's I think it's a pretty good draft.
Pagano is,
but you know better than me.
Is John going to work with any position group more than the other, let's say, on like a normal practice day?
Yeah, more in the back end.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jack, you talked about what it takes from the perspective of you as a coach to deal with the Vegas issue in the coming year and beyond. Speaking from your perspective as a player, what do your players need to do in order to focus in and not worry about that piece of the equation?
Well, the players, the number one thing you have to, I think, do as a player, even as a coach, is just talk to your wife and kids and educate them. Everybody needs to understand, you know, what the landscape is. To me, once you get that part settled, then you can settle back into your job of what you need to do. And, you know, we always clearly define the roles that we're looking for and make sure our guys understand that and they understand the why, and then we get to teaching and growing and developing. But, you know, I don't think you can dismiss that aspect of it. There are wives at home right now that are asking their husbands, and their husbands don't have those answers. So the first thing I want them all to know is that just remember that, 30% rule. You know, 30% of the team changes. So don't be worried about what we're going to be doing 2 or 3 years from now. Be worried about taking care of your job so you can be a part of that in 2 or 3 years. So it's about the here and now for the actual coach, for the actual player, for the actual product that we're putting out this year. But you can't be blind to the fact that there are families involved, there are people involved, and they need some information. And part of that will be not yet.
Yeah. So, have you thought about, would you say to them the first time you get them as a group?
I have begun to put those thoughts together. I'm not prepared to say more than I have here today, and that is, you know, that obviously there's a lot of time between the here and the now, and right. We need to focus on what we're doing right now.
So there's really no blueprint to go by here because there's such a time lapse of the teams that have moved, you know, they've moved the next season.
Not exactly right. Next season or immediately.
Right.
So, it's a little unique. So there's not a handbook out there. If there is, please send it. Send it to me. Get it to Will. Will, get it over to me. There's not one out there. We will draw on the experiences that we have, the wisdom that we have in the group, and do the best we can of putting a plan together and executing that plan.
You know, Plunkett told me, in 81, they kind of went through this. They didn't know exactly for sure they were moving, but it was kind of assumed. And he said the same thing you just did. The biggest thing was going home at night and dealing with your families.
No question.
You wonder if you talked to any of those 1981 Raiders that had to go through.
Well, I wasn't going to waste any time until it was time.
Yeah.
But now that that is going to happen, I will lean on some of those guys that have been through that experience and just, you know, ask and make sure we learn and understand some of the issues, some of the pitfalls, some of the problems, and let's address them and handle them the best we can. There's some that are unavoidable. It's just a part of the growing pain of picking up from where you are and going somewhere else.
Jack, are you afraid that you might lose your home field advantage in a couple of years, or the fans decide not to support the team?
I don't. I can't answer that definitively. I would say I doubt it. I doubt it because I think the first thing we have to do is play well and earn it. I think that's where it starts. I'm betting on us doing well, right? So if we do well enough, people will be excited to watch it, and there is that element where there will be a certain number of people that, you know, are disappointed to the point where they can't come and support anymore, and that's understandable. We'll just see what that number is. If that number grows to a lot, then obviously we'll adjust that line of thinking. But I'd be surprised.
What kind of a piece did you add in Cordarrelle Patterson?
really excited about CP. You know, he's a gifted athlete. He's once he touches the ball, he can score from anywhere. He's excited about what we plan on doing with him in our offense and with our special teams. It's not just as a special teams guy. We're going to integrate him into our offense, and I think he's a dynamic playmaker.
Hey, Coach, how's the offense going to change after Musgrave? Because one thing I was fascinated with Coach Musgrave is he installed elements of Chip Kelly's offense, and he even played around with some things that Todd Franklin did at Cal. It was pretty interesting. But how is it going to change this year?
Every year there are little tweaks to offensive, defensive, special teams, your systems, what you're going to do. With Todd being elevated, he'll have his opportunity to impact that. We'll design that as we go. I give him the freedom to work through it. We've got good staff, you know, Mike Tice and all the different guys on the staff, offensive staff, and putting plans together. And we'll continue to do that, look to be innovative, look to take advantage of our quarterback and the talents that he has.
With the new OC, we'll see something that looks different. What will we see that may be different?
Yeah, I don't think it'll look a whole lot different.
Okay.
Like it to execute. I think, you know, each year you go back and reinvest in the things that you believe in, that you want to be good at. No matter how good it went, there's always room for improvement. And certainly it was a strong year for the offense.
Sure. When you went back and self-scouted or went over last year, did you learn anything surprising that you know, kind of get lost in the forest of the regular season that you don't do when you step back? Was there anything you learned that was surprising?
Not really. Not anything that jumped out where we were unaware of it, you know, prior to doing the study.
Okay.
What did you see in Todd Downing over the course of the last couple of seasons that made you confident, hey, this guy can he's young, that this guy can handle an offensive coordinator job with all these weapons?
Yeah. The interaction that I witnessed, the leadership that he provided over the last 2 years.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, the ability to communicate with his group, elevate the play of his group, the importance of that group. So all of that. I think the overall, the ability to lead in the offensive staff room, the ability to direct, organize, and execute assignments that were given, he earned his way. You know, it's his time to get an opportunity, and I believe he's a really, really good, talented young coach.
Jack, in that wire, in the game that Derek got hurt, he was wired, you know, by NFL Films. It was so interesting to watch him as such a young guy. You can tell that he had his hand around the throat of your team. You know, he's totally in control of your team at such a young age. That's sort of an underrated part of being the quarterback and being the team leader, and that's things that people really on the outside don't see very much. You see it every day. What's that aspect of his personality and his game like?
Yeah, I think that's a great observation, Peter. You know, Derek, what these guys that are there get to see all the time is that's who he is. I mean, he's really authentic, right? I mean, he does care. He is sincere in that. His tweet yesterday was right on the money. I mean, he's thoughtful. He's not thinking about just himself. He's thinking about others and how he can impact others in a positive way. You know, during free agency, you know, whatever player we were on, Derek was on him too. You know, it's like he's doing all the right things. And it's not forced. It's not... not made up, it's not manufactured. I think it's just him. I think it's real. And that's the best part. You know, to have, you know, really the two top players on our football team being Derek and Khalil, and they're those kind of guys. They're the kind of guys I can lay my head down at night on my pillow and not worry a thing about. And not only are they not going to get in trouble, but they're going to you know, do the right thing. So yeah, it's awesome.
In their earnestness is really what you're talking about. Do they remind you of that maybe you played with? I know you're probably loathe to make comparisons, but in that quality of earnestness.
It's no, I don't have a I don't have a name that jumps into my mind right now.
Jack, what about the
Jack, I don't know if there's a blueprint for what you and the Raiders are now going to be asked to do.
There's a handbook. we're looking for that handbook. Yes.
A playoff team with big aspirations knows it's going to be moving soon, but not now, and
right.
fans have to. How do you plan to manage that with your players when the goal is always what's next in the NFL?
Sure.
But there's the specter of what's in 3 years.
Right. Right.
How do you do that?
Well, we're going to find out, and then maybe I'll have a handbook that I can give to the next team. But I think. You know, for me, it's something that you have to navigate. I think you have to appreciate some of the things that are coming, understand what they are. And I don't know if you were here when I was talking about it earlier, but, you know, addressing the families now so they're not anxious about then, that, hey, there's time. All right, now's not the time. I think if you really go back to this basic principle, it's a year-to-year league. Heck, it's a week-to-week league. And so don't get too far ahead of yourselves, you know. There is a story that's going to be written that's going to take off. But we really have to focus on the here and now, because so much of the team turns over anyway. Coaching staffs, you know, there's movement and opportunities. And so many things happen for us. Let's just focus on taking care of business.
Hey, but Coach, when you
take one. Jack, you believe you could be a Super Bowl team.
God, I hope so. We've got a lot of work to do before we just get back to the playoffs. Yeah, first of all, I'm anxious to see what the schedule is going to look like when it comes out. And you know, we're going to the East, I think, 6 times this year. So it'll be a challenge.
But, Coach, when you look at the things that you're able to accomplish moving forward as a head coach, as an organization, having a chance to go to Las Vegas, can't you use that to your advantage? Because I remember in Pittsburgh, we had a chance to change our stadium over from Three Rivers to Heinz Field. Mm-hmm. Guys wanted to be a part of that newness. Guys wanted to be a part of that refreshing feeling of, man, this may be pretty good. Recruiting process may have guys that really want to come here. It's in Vegas. You should be able to use that towards your advantage, correct?
Well, I think we'll certainly look for every opportunity, you know, to maximize, you know, whatever we're going through. And, you know, once you get into that part, I think that's part of what we did initially in Oakland is, you know, we transformed that building, you know, new performance center, the steam room, you know, freshened up the halls, you know, fresh paint, put some murals in, things like that. So I think when you now go to talking about, you know, new buildings and things like that, yeah, I think some of that stuff is impressive, but I'm really more into the fabric of the character, of the culture that we have, and I'm going to spend more of my time on those things and less time on the actual, you know, buildings and structures.
Jack, can you just talk about the emotions that you went through so late in the year when you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender and then you lose your quarterback?
Yeah.
And it happens so late, there's almost no time to adjust to it either emotionally or on the field. What was that like for you when you can see like your season end on the field like that?
Well, there's a part as a competitor that you're never going to yield to that. So there was a feeling of, oh, blank, this just got a lot harder. But there was no backing down. There was no quit. There was no shying away from the challenge in front of us. In my heart, I thought we would go down and at least win the first game. And we didn't get that done. So that energizes me to make sure that we're stronger in all areas. And you want to get to where you can overcome a loss like that and go continue to win.
Right.
And that's what we're going to continue to build towards.
So you have that happen last year. And now you come back, Derek will be healthy. And then you have this... I don't know if you even call it a distraction, but this unique set of circumstances that no matter how hard you try to convince your players to put that in the future, don't worry about it, you get the 30% rule, but it's still going to hang over your team. I mean, does this really put you to the test? Having to get over losing Derek Carr was one thing, but now have something that's going to, you know, be there
I think when you look at the two things, I don't know that you can equate. I think if you try and equate losing your quarterback, who's having a MVP type of year, to a distraction we're going to move, I don't think they measure up. I think one's a whole lot heavier and more impactful than the other. So I would say you're right.
Losing the quarterback was more impactful.
Yeah, slightly. So I would say that understanding there is something that needs to be dealt with. There is a challenge, but there's also an opportunity anytime there's a challenge, right? So I think we'll look at it like that and do all we can to keep our quarterback upright.
Well, you mentioned these six Eastern trips. I can assume you were close to like the back-to-back, so you can stay back there at one point.
Yeah, we've
already done that.
We've done that. Yeah.
You don't know.
Yet. We have no idea what that'll end up being. So we have some things that we've requested that would better enable us to withstand, you know, what's coming, and I think part of that is a recognition of, you know, going to Mexico. Because, you know, regardless of how you paint it, you know, it's a home game for us. So from a competitive advantage standpoint, you know, we're not gaining one. We're losing one. You know, that's if you continue to go, that's one thing. If you continue to go and it's a home game, you're losing and you're playing 9 on the road and 7 at home. That's a competitive disadvantage. So hopefully recognition of that, you know, we don't also have some other things like a Thursday night game 2 time zones away.
Right.
You know, just nobody else in the league was asked to do that. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're getting a fair shake. Hopefully we will.
When you look back at Carl Joseph's body of work over his rookie season, how did you evaluate him? He was obviously coming off the ACL, but played a lot. Where does he need to improve? What impressed you in his rookie?
I think Carl's going to take a big step forward this year as a player in his development, just with comfort and understanding what's expected of him. Coming in and being healthy, having a full offseason of work, I just feel like a confident Carl Joseph's going to be a much more impactful guy. Sure.
Jack, you've been an advocate of expansion of the review of replay, essentially replay, opening up more things. The Buffalo-Seattle proposal, I don't imagine it's going to go through today, but was that a message perhaps that that's a representation of a lot of coaches in the league who would like to see replays expanded to whatever degree?
Well, I think there's there are a number of coaches that just feel like if there's an obvious error, that we should have a mechanism to correct it, and we catch most of them. So you're talking about a small percentage. It's hard to move the needle for such a small percentage. That's the problem. The fact is, if it's important enough that we're willing to use that challenge, we just like that right, that ability. So they're right. Like, the percentage of times it comes up is very small, but things happen. And you don't want to lose a big game, a game that decides whether you advance or not in the playoffs, decides whether or not you make the playoffs, whether you win your division or not, and it's something you could overturn, something you could challenge and change. Why not?
The CFL is going into its 4th year of having coaches the ability to challenge not only called defensive pass interference, but not called. They've been able to do that the last 2 years, and everybody seems to like it, fans, coaches, the league. Do you think the NFL might be close to that?
I wouldn't try to speculate on that. I would just say the more it's being done somewhere else, the more comfortable it has to become in being considered.
What's your take on Joe Mixon?
One of the players coming out in the draft. Yeah, I haven't done much studying of him.
Cam Robinson.
Are you going to grill me on how many guys I know in the draft?
No, I'm an advocate of him because he ragdolled Miles Garrett, Jarrett last year.
Okay.
When Bama played Texas A&M.
Well, obviously that's good tape to watch of those two teams. Very
give you a little tip there. How's that?
Being very talented. Yeah, I mean, we work hard at the draft process, and you know, I really don't want to sit here and try and describe the different players that we're evaluating at this point.
Do you have an opinion on the overtime stuff? You know, there's a proposal to shorten the overtime to 10 minutes. Some people talk about going to college system. Do you have an opinion on any of that?
I heard two things that were interesting to me. One is that I think everybody agrees you'd like to see each team get an opportunity to possess the ball. And I think statistically speaking, we'd like to reduce the number of snaps that we're actually taking in overtime. And with those two things in mind, I think the college system is should be a strong consideration because both of those things happen. You know, right now, we're taking more snaps in our overtimes than they are. So from a player safety standpoint, you'd like to reduce how much exposure you're having for your players, additional exposure to settle the overtime. But they're also getting both teams a chance to possess the ball, which didn't happen in the Super Bowl, right? So it's a great example of why you'd like to see something where both teams get to possess the ball. You'd like to see, can Matt Ryan answer, right? Didn't we all wonder that? Can Matt answer? So it's like, no, Matt didn't get a chance to answer. But to me, those are two compelling reasons to take a hard look at it. Hopefully, you know, when we go through that today, that's that discussion has a chance to go somewhere.
What's your favorite Vegas show? You mentioned you're doing shows in Vegas.
I'm not. Cirque du Soleil.
Hey, what's your take on the Leaper rule? Because I talked to Richard McKay about it. With respect to controlling athletic ability,
yeah.
He said that wasn't the idea. The idea was basically player safety.
I think it is player safety. So we'll see how that goes today. I know that's going to be discussed. So there are some safety concerns on that. That are legitimate.
I won't even ask you about the 2019 season. You might not play the whole season on the road.
Right. Right. We'll see.
How about a right tackle question, huh?
Yeah.
Without Menelik there, obviously you have Austin who has experience and Goodall. And is Newhouse going to play more outside? Do we know
he's,
yet? Or
he's a guy that can go either way. He can play inside or outside.
Is that a full-on open competition between those guys and whoever you may draft? Is that an important spot considering the rest of your line is obviously well established and set? You need that person to fit in well with what they do.
Yeah, we're going to put together a strong offensive line again. Coach Tice does a great job working that group. We took a guy that has experience playing inside and outside, and we're going to let that position be competitive. If we add anybody in the draft, which we could. And anybody that comes in will get an opportunity, you know, to compete for that spot.
So is April 17th is the first time the whole squad's together?
Yeah, that's the start of our offseason.
What's the latest then, I guess, on all that? I know you guys, again, still can't have any contact with him, but based on what happened with him a couple weeks ago, I mean, any thoughts on just trying to get him some help or trying to get him back in there?
There's really a little bit frustrating to not be able to be a part of that process. My feel is that I could help him, but the experts know. The experts don't allow that. I just have to follow the rules. But it does get frustrating to not be able to help a young man. Help provide support, provide structure, but that's somebody else has to make those decisions. You know, it's just out of my hands.
One more, guys.
Coach, you said to play the Patriots in Mexico. Yes. Season.
What are the benefits of those games abroad?
The benefits? Well, let's see. I think the league benefits.
This is a tougher question than I anticipated.
Well, I mean, you know, the league benefits. I mean, we get exposure, you know, worldwide. And so I think it's healthy for the league to grow the game and its popularity, you know, across the globe. So from that point, it's I think there's value in it.
Thank
yeah, you bet.